This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
Tell me.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on? We'll fight against Josh. We'll fight Elon Musk. No Elon scab within our walls. We'll fight from dawn to dusk. Oh, which side are you on?
Trump 2028, that's pretty much sold now. I think it's a done deal. It's the best thing that's ever happened to the Republicans.
Just FYI, there's more of that song.
Are you on?
Oh, okay.
Trump's coming for our unions. He wants us all to fail. He wants us to bow to him. But we want him in jail. Which side are you on?
See, the more we play this, the more people are on the right side, you know?
Which side are you on?
Is there more?
They say in the capital city, there are no neutrals found. You're either with the union or a scabby Musk bloodhound.
Did they say mud blood?
No, I think they said Musk Bloodhound.
Oh, is it different?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's more.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
But wait.
Don't take that government buyout. Don't listen to Trump's lies. Us workers haven't got a chance unless we organize. Oh, which side are you on?
Oh.
The amazing thing to me is that they were able to get that many professional singers together that fast.
Are you on? Which side are you on?
Slow stop, man. You guys took it home. You brought it home. I don't really have anything else today. That's about it.
Let's just play that.
I know.
Over and over and over.
Oh, my gosh. The video is a treat.
You know, I do acknowledge, though, that they weren't able to get some sort of band. a lot of good singers.
Sounded like a lot of honking horns to me.
Ooh.
It was, you know, the thing is, somebody wrote that and was super proud.
Yeah, they were.
Like, guys, we got the answer.
I think it might have been that lady.
I know. The one who went, when she was breaking it down back into the chorus.
She wanted you to hear each syllable in how poignant it was to the time we're living in.
The comments are hilarious. I'm seeing comments from people I've never seen before saying things like, for the love of God, please stop. Johnny says, you play stuff way too long. I've never...
Johnny. Have you ever been here before?
Did you hear that?
That's coming back. Maybe this segment.
Erica says they'll be playing that when I'm being tortured in hell. Erica, why do you think you're going to hell?
Yeah, Erica.
You don't need to.
Let's talk about other things, not the song.
Yeah, we got priorities to discuss here. Kate just says, jazz hands. What do these people think they're doing? Every time. They had the Doge subcommittee hearing today. And at the Doge subcommittee hearing, when the left is talking, all that the people on the Democrat side of the aisle care about right now is Elon Musk, which is the greatest gift to Donald Trump ever, because they're not talking about Trump. Donald Trump is bringing hostages home that Joe Biden couldn't get back home, didn't try to get back home. And if he did try, if someone's like, that's not true, he was trying. Well, then he failed.
Yeah. Which one do you want?
Which one is it? Donald Trump is sending Marco Rubio around the world to fix things. He is working on implementing dramatic change at every single level. While Elon Musk is weeding out all of the spending waste, and the Democrats think that the American people don't like Elon Musk. The Democrats that are in office right now and those that speak for them truly believe that they are going to persuade American voters and the American electorate to care more about a scary billionaire who makes a lot of money than they are going to care about finding out that millions and billions of our taxpayer dollars are being shoveled overseas for things that aren't even being funded domestically. The Democrats really, truly believe that they are going to successfully be able to sing those stupid songs, and people are going to hear it, and they're going to go, these are my people. I feel seen. I feel heard. The people who are motivated by that song, the problem is that all they do is feel. They don't think. And watching so many people consume on social media, people who I'm watching, I'm like trying to always find myself down a different path in social media. I've said this before. I wish on X you could, like, people could make their timelines be appropriatable, if that's a word, where I could be like, I want to look at Ryan Wiggins' timeline. I want to see X the way Ryan sees it. So you could have somebody who is like Bill Maher. And I could go see Bill, like, who is influencing Bill Maher in his X timeline? What does Elon Musk's timeline look like? What does Donald Trump's timeline look like? Probably, I think he follows like one person. Maybe. What does Anderson Cooper's timeline look like? What does Bret Baier's timeline look like? Wouldn't you like to see the curation of who they follow and what kind of information they're exposed to? That's what I would really like to be able to do, because when you see the people on the left, this is the only place I've gone to really be able to try to dig in and see behind the curtain. Reddit. Which I sent you guys a Reddit thread last night. Did you guys read any of it?
Gosh, yes. Yeah, it was so funny.
I'm like, can we do this on the air? I don't know if we can do this on the air. It was so funny. I'm pouring through Reddit because there are a lot of threads on Reddit that are like, guys, I don't know. The country is going so bad. I just don't know how I can go on. It's not like Donald Trump sucks. It's like, I don't think I can live like this. It's severe. Mm. The way certain people have been made to feel about this current moment in time is severe. It's very unhealthy. And what is really interesting to me on Reddit is looking in at somebody who's saying that. A lot of people, there was one conversation, one post about somebody who said, I don't know what to do. My wife is dead set on moving out of the country because she feels it so bad here, but I don't want to uproot our family and start completely over. And it was like a 40-year-old dude. And he explains that he's like, I run my own business. My wife is very educated and stays home to like basically take care of the house and the kids. My wife is very educated on these things. And she feels very passionately about the danger of women's rights and all of this stuff. And it's like, I'm looking at this going, dude, you have a business? If she's staying at home and you have a business, What are you going to do when you move to, what I found out later was one of the countries of interest was Portugal. So you're going to leave this country and go to Portugal and just settle down and live that? Like, what were, how can we be living in such different realities? That's the question that I have. And I, yes, I'm making fun of those people. And we're going to continue to make fun of those people throughout the show. So just brace yourself. But I don't really want to make fun of the people who are looking at this, who have been deceived. I don't enjoy watching people who are just like you and me. We're just going about our lives. We're trying to live. We're trying to take care of ourselves. We're trying to take care of our families. They've been so lied to and so deceived. And then you see the Department of Government Efficiency subcommittee hearing today. And you hear the Republicans talking about Elon Musk found this amount of waste and Elon Musk found this millions of dollars and this billions of dollars. And, you know, trying to like asking these people, there were people at the hearing, which was kind of hard to tell if you were only watching Democrats because they were just grandstanding. But looking at all of the different places, even to the extent where, like, With Medicare or with Medicaid or whatever it is, Elon Musk was talking yesterday about saying, you know, we should be able to verify that the people who are receiving this are real people. That is not a Republican standard. That is a common sense standard. And all the Democrats want to talk about is the fact that Elon Musk is too rich to be where he is. He wasn't elected. Anthony Fauci turned your life upside down. In fact, he funded the COVID virus that maybe killed somebody in your family. He was not elected. He gave us baloney sausage advice to shut down our whole lives so that you couldn't live like a normal person for probably a total of 3 years, maybe even more. Fauci wasn't elected. And guess what Fauci got? A pardon. What for? What for? Elon Musk is out there saying, I think that if you're going to receive government funds, you should be able to prove that you're a human being. Outrage. It's absurd. And then they go march out there and they say, they sing these, if you're going to sing songs, get somebody who can sing on the microphone so that it's not so easily laughable. She keeps asking, which side are we on? And the funny thing is the more these people look so out of touch and stupid, the more people who are like, Elon Musk doesn't want $59 million to go to the Roosevelt Hotel to fund illegal aliens who are living in New York City while North Carolina has been sitting without the help of FEMA at all. That is such a no-brainer. You just put the facts out there and people go, I know which side I'm on and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm on Donald Trump's side. So keep going, keep singing, keep protesting. Again, I will keep making fun of the people who go in front of cameras, who use this moment in time to enrich themselves, to utilize the amplification of victimhood for their own personal gain, which ironically is what the Democrat Party has been doing with your tax dollars to the tune of we don't even know how much. I will make fun of them mercilessly. But there are real people out there right now that are freaking out. They are scared. And I just want them to see and consider another side. Because it's not so bad on this side. It's actually about to get really, really great. Which side are you on, Ryan Wiggins?
I thought I was on the same side as you guys until the song.
And then you were
And then whatever sure. they're doing, I'm on that side. So I don't know what side that is, but it's that one.
Let's see here. I should play that song every segment until we get 500 votes in the poll. Vote. Vote like you're in Illinois with every account you can come up
with. That might be counterintuitive because people will tune out of even listening to the show.
No, I didn't consider that. I just thought that they love the show so much and they can't stop listening that they would just vote.
Most of that's true. I am that guy.
You're stuck.
I'm here, and I'm on the side of the singers.
You also suggested playing that song as much as possible today. Literally, his suggestion was every bump music song in and out of the segment.
For 3 hours.
For 3 hours. Next time Ryan Wiggins hosts the Manny Fry Show, guess what, guys?
Because it got vetoed today, but guess what happens when Annie's away?
Mark left a comment here, and he said, you want to go ahead and read it for the people?
Sure. I don't know what it is yet, but
it's
I will read it.
Screen.
Mark says, no. Lots of O's, one N.
When we come back, Nick Iacovella is going to be with us. He's the executive president for the Coalition for Prosperous America. He's also the deputy director of communications for Senator Marco Rubio. It's very exciting. We're going to talk to him about tariffs. We're going to talk to him about the steel tariffs. We specifically, this is fun, we get to request things to the administration now once again, and then they say, here's somebody you could talk to, or here's somebody you could talk to. But we want to talk to people about the tariffs that have been talking about specifically on steel, because I know a lot of you listening right now care deeply about the production of steel in the United States of America, right here on the east side, of course. So Nick Iacovella is going to talk to us about that, and we're going to discuss tariffs. I might just ask him first, can you explain what a tariff is? Because we've asked that question quite a bit, but it doesn't hurt to get to the bottom baseline facts as well. I'll ask him which side he's on, too. Is that the worst thing you've ever heard or the best thing you've ever heard?
I don't know. I'll have to hear it a couple more times and I'll let you know.
All right. We can do that for you. Stay safe in the weather right now. Let us know what it's doing out in your location. If you're in the St. Louis area, obviously, snow, ice, sleet, whatever's coming down. It was a eventful drive-in. Be safe, but keep it right here. Join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and go vote in today's YouTube live chat poll. Are you more concerned about the price of eggs or the price of government? We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com. And another one
gone, and another one gone. Another so one if it's made in the United States, there is no tariff. All you have to do is make it in the United States. We don't need it from another country. As an example, Canada. If we make it in the United States, we don't need it to be made in Canada. We'll have the jobs. That's why Canada should be our 51st state. We'll bring back industries and we'll bring back our jobs and we'll make America industry great again. So essentially, we're putting on a 25% tariff without exception on all aluminum and all steel. And it's going to mean a lot of businesses are going to be opening in the United States now.
So there's Donald Trump talking about tariffs. Of course, we've seen him promising this to the American people well before he got elected. So you got to think when the American people voted for Donald Trump, it cannot be a surprise that those people are now seeing him continue to talk about the use of tariffs. Now, maybe people are more interested in what that actually means. So we always look to get an expert on here. And our friend Nick Iacovella is on with us, the executive vice president for the Coalition for a Prosperous America. He's a former deputy director of communications for Senator Marco Rubio as well. Nick, welcome to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to have you here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Can I ask you like a super basic question so that the people listening right now can really understand the concepts of what you're going to talk to us a little bit more in detail? But when Donald Trump talks about tariffs, what does that mean that the United States is going to be doing, benefiting from, and maybe having to deal with at the initiation of those?
Yeah, great starting point, I think. The United States has offshored our industrial capacity over the last 20 to 30 years. And if you understand how a country can have a strong, prosperous economy, it's critical that we have that industrial capacity. A tariff at its most basic level is a trade policy to incentivize domestic production. And I'm sure many of your listeners over the last 4 or 5 years, you know, during the COVID pandemic, they had an eye-opening experience and realized that there's a lot of products that we just do not make in this country. And when it comes to critical sectors like healthcare, PPE, steel and aluminum, not only has our capacity to produce these very important products declined significantly, but in the case of China and other countries, and in the first Trump administration, it was China, but China has moved production to other countries to continue to overproduce well beyond their economy and country can consume. And they dump that excess capacity onto the global market, specifically targeting the United States. And, you know, that's a complicated way, I guess, of saying why is that a problem?
Yeah.
Because we've lost 4 million jobs. And it's not just the jobs in manufacturing. You know, economists in D.C., I love to say, will disagree on everything. Tariffs cause inflation. No, they don't cause inflation. You know, tariffs are going to result in price increases. Well, even Biden's Secretary of the Treasury, Janet Yellen, said tariffs will not cause any meaningful price increases for Americans. But at the most basic level, they agree if we were to create a manufacturing job, it has a downstream effect of 7 to 15 jobs in the economy on average, and in some sectors, it's even higher, 15 to 30 jobs. And so that's why I think the president is exactly right to focus his trade and economic agenda on broadly reindustrializing the United States. It's how we're going to grow the economy from the working class people out. It's how we're going to get incomes, real household incomes and wages actually rising. And it's how we're going to create jobs that actually matter for Americans who want to afford a home, you know, save up for their retirement, send their kids to school. Yeah, I was just reading the jobs report, you know, from this week. In January, the Biden administration, 99.8% of new jobs created went to the government sector and foreign-born workers. Every single month of 2024, the Biden jobs numbers were revised down. It's clear that we're not on the right track, and I think the president's trade and tariff agenda is the exact kind of bold policy that we need if we're going to have a very prosperous economy in the 21st century that is actually lifting up the working class people of this country.
It's a great explanation. We're speaking with Nick Iacovella, the executive vice president for the Coalition for a Prosperous America. So, Nick, when I hear President Trump talk about tariffs, sometimes I hear people say it's a negotiating tool. Sometimes I wonder if it's the actual end that he is looking to reach with another entity that he's talking about implementing these tariffs on. Do you feel as though the way that the president is speaking about these tariffs right now, is he trying to get better deals for the United States? And if the other country doesn't want to play nice with us and play fair, as Donald Trump regularly highlights that we are being treated very unfairly, then the tariffs are implemented? Or is the tariff the actual end goal here?
So I think we have to look at Mexico and Canada as a separate issue. But in terms of the president's goal, it's not that he wakes up and says, I just want tariffs. You know, tariffs are a policy tool that the president rightly recognizes, can be a major piece of his agenda to broadly reshore production and create jobs. But at the end of the day, you know, I mean, I don't want to speak for the president, of course, but when I listen to him, when we work with the White House on policies that they're implementing, the president's goal is very simple. He wants to create economic prosperity for the working class people of this country. For too long, the United States' trade and economic agenda has incentivized offshoring. Our stock market has performed incredibly well. You know, the financial sector has grown, but the working class people of this country have had their wages stagnate, real household income stagnate. So the president is saying we have to address this. And tariffs are a critical policy tool to accomplish that, but they're just one piece of the toolbox. When it comes to Mexico and Canada, I think the president is looking at this really in two separate buckets. He does recognize that we have some imbalances with these two countries where our economy and our workers are being threatened. And I think he's 100% committed to addressing that. Problems that have arisen since USMCA was signed. You know, for example, Mexico literally advertises to China that they should invest in Mexico as a duty-free backdoor to the United States. That was never the intention when we signed USMCA. It was not supposed to be a green light for China to bypass our trade enforcement and build capacity in Mexico so that they could export it and dump it into the U.S. But separately, I think the president was just sworn into office a few weeks ago. He has been talking about the border crisis, the amount of illegal immigration that's flooded in, and especially dangerous narcotics and poison like fentanyl coming across not just the southern border, but from Canada as well. I think it was about 10 or 12 days ago, they seized enough fentanyl on the Canadian border to kill 9 million Americans. Governor Abbott in Texas, his Operation Lone Star has done a phenomenal job. But again, the numbers are staggering. They have seized enough fentanyl, just Texas's Operation Lone Star, to kill every man, woman, and child in the entire country.
Wow.
Nobody, you know, there's people that have a sickness that are drug abusers, and we should absolutely help them, get them the help they need. But nobody is buying fentanyl on the street. They're being poisoned by it. And it's deliberate acts against the United States to target our population. So when the president came in and said, we're going to put 25% tariffs on Mexico and Canada, he was doing that because he needs this national security crisis addressed. And I think that's exactly the kind of priority that we want for a commander in chief. We've seen the last 4 years what's happened at the border. You know, in my personal view, it's been a disaster. It should have been addressed a long time ago. And so when the president says, I'm going to put a stop to this, and we know that the United States' consumer market, our economy, is the single greatest, most robust economy in the world. If you're a foreign producer, you want access to it. And what he's telling Mexico and Canada is, if you guys don't address this, if you don't stop this harm that's coming to our country, you're going to face severe, significant consequences. And so in that instance, he's using tariffs for leverage to get our neighboring countries to act. And I think he said something to the effect of, we've tried to speak with them about this for a long time, and those talks haven't resulted in action. And so, again, you know, the president is exactly right. Use the tools at his disposal to solve this problem.
Yeah. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. And the concessions he's been able to get so far out of Canada and Mexico, they've moved quite a bit on this issue to help us secure our northern and southern border. It's obviously been effective. Nick Iacovella speaking with us right now. He's an executive, the executive director, vice president for the Coalition for Prosperous America. We're talking about the business of tariffs and how President Trump is utilizing these to exact his America First plan. I want to bring it super hyper local here. I don't know if you know the specific details about our local steel community. Donald Trump visited in July of 2018 Granite City Steel, which is 10 minutes from where I'm sitting right now. I was there when he visited Granite City Steel. And when he was there, he said, Donald Trump said, we also know our steel industry is vital to our security and our prosperity. If you don't have steel, you don't have a country. And we've heard as of late some tariffs that could be implemented where it comes to the steel industry. We know that Japan was trying to buy U.S. steel initially. What is going to happen right now with the steel industry, U.S. steel, and all of these steel workers that are listening right now in our area that are wondering about the future of their careers?
Yeah, and I will tell you that at CPA, we are incredibly proud to represent some of the best steel companies that produce right here in the United States. And the president, when he says, if you don't have steel production, you don't have a country, he's exactly right. Steel is in literally everything. Sure, energy is critical. Healthcare is critical. But steel is even more important because it is an input to all of those important sectors. And what we have seen since the signing of the USMCA, there was a separate agreement with Mexico and Canada called the 2019 Joint Steel and Aluminum Agreements. And very simply, that agreement said that the U.S. would remove our 232 tariffs on steel and aluminum if Mexico and Canada agreed to limit their exports and stop the surge. And of course, Mexico violated that agreement almost immediately. In 2023, they were 472% above the baseline in certain steel products. Last year, they were 700% surge above the baseline. That's what the president is addressing, not just, you know, for Mexico and Canada, but globally, because he understands that these are two vital sectors. And I think going forward, what we want to do and what we advocate for at CPA is policies that are going to incentivize a robust domestic steel industry. We have to recognize that China is pushing product into Canada and Mexico so that they can take advantage of the USMCA. That's why there's a melted and poured standard that is in the 232 action the president just announced this week. But more broadly, I think we need to look at what has caused our steel manufacturers to have to shutter plants. And a key piece of that is addressing the surge. I mean, I will tell you, our members, because of the surge from Mexico in particular, have had to lay off hundreds of workers or stop production of specific products at their facilities. And it's because the Biden administration did not enforce the agreement. That's literally, it's as simple as that. We made an agreement with Mexico. We abided by it. They didn't. Our people were hurt. Our workers were hurt. And the Biden White House decided to do nothing. And, you know, President Trump, in just the first month of his presidency, is saying, absolutely not. I'm going to have the steel and aluminum industries back. And, you know, that is, I will tell you, a very welcome development after the last 4 years.
Do you have a prediction for what Donald Trump is going to be able to do, or a timeline hope of how quickly he'll be able to make an actual effect on this crisis that we have right now in our country with steel?
Well, those tariffs are going to go into effect on March 12th. We have been meeting with our member companies, you know, this week. I will tell you that their customers and their suppliers are already pricing these in to decision making. And so I do expect these to have an impact fairly quickly. And the one thing that I think is a really important point to understand about the difference between the first Trump administration and the second Trump administration. In the first Trump administration, the president was exactly right to highlight China and to renegotiate NAFTA. But we're 10 years from when he first announced he was running for president back in 2015. China is incredibly, incredibly strategic about evading U.S. trade enforcement and our tariffs. So if we put a tariff on a Chinese product, they will build production in Southeast Asia and circumvent the tariffs and transship. That is why the president has made the universal tariff such a focus of his second term, because it's impossible to circumvent and transship and, you know, do fraudulent trade activity to get around a universal tariff. It does not matter where that product is produced. If it has a universal tariff, it's going to have to be paid by the foreign importer before it comes into the country. And it's a major change from the administration. I think if the president continues at the speed that he is now, we will start to see benefits to the economy this year.
Man, let's hope. Nick Iacovella, thank you for the insight on this. This is a huge issue for us here in the St. Louis region, and I'm really glad we got some of the basic information and more in-depth information regarding tariffs and specifically to the steel industry. Nick, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for being with us here today.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Nick Iacovella, the Executive Vice President for the Coalition for Prosperous America, former Deputy Director of Communications for Senator Marco Rubio as well. You can follow him on X at Nick Iacovella. Let's take a quick break. Wiggins America next. Meeting etiquette, 8 things to avoid. He might be on the roof right now. We were going to send him to do one of his classic Ryan Wiggins weather reports. But we're really only interested in Ryan Wiggins' weather report when it's freezing and snowing outside. So he was going to go out there, and then he looked outside, and then the weather report was, hey, it stopped snowing. So I hope he didn't go up, because we're going to have to send him up again if he tried to do a cop-out here and go up when it wasn't snowing. Plus, he's got Wiggins America next. This is his moment to shine. Meeting etiquette, 8 things to avoid. First thing should be not showing up to your own meeting. Ryan, that's you. Next on Wiggins America. Hope you're listening. We'll be right back. This Wiggins America is a visual Wiggins America.
Yep.
For the folks on the radio, I'm sorry. For the folks on the YouTube,
You just got a whole bunch of flapping by me. A Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Wasn't even dancing. He was just jumping up and down.
Yeah, what was flapping exactly?
Flapping is exactly correct.
Flapping is what a flapper does.
That's why he's wearing that dress.
That's true.
And the big long pearl necklace.
I didn't even question it.
Mm-hmm. It's because I knew that that segment was going to have that, so I changed.
Theater of the mind, people. Theater of the mind.
Yeah, if you're watching on YouTube, you know that this is all false.
What are you talking about?
But if you're listening...
Don't lie.
I don't know what's a lie anymore.
That's my plan.
What I have for Wiggins America today,
Charleston.
This is no lie.
The Charleston.
Is, and by the way, that was a great segue. Thank you. Showing up late to your own meetings. These are things not to do at work meetings, but most of them apply more to Zoom calls.
Don't you feel like the lists that are made today are like you could add for dummies to the end of the list?
Mostly, yeah. Mostly.
Say this, but add for dummies.
Yeah. Okay. So these are things you should not do in a work meeting if you're an idiot.
For dummies.
For dummies.
Gotta make it your own.
Number one is showing up late.
Okay.
Don't show up late,
dummy,
to the meeting, you idiot. But if you do, don't make it a big thing. Just come in, try to catch up. Most of these, again, are to Zoom meetings. Turning the camera off in virtual meetings. They say, don't do that. Which I disagree with.
Depends on how many people are in the meeting.
Mm.
Yeah, if it's a huge meeting.
If there are less than 10 people in that meeting, you should have the camera on. 10 might even be high.
But turn the mic off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Have to turn the mic off. Next one is try to multitask during the meeting. As in, don't. Don't try to multitask during the meeting. But this, again, is one, how many people are in the meeting?
I'm definitely multitasking. I multitask while I do a show.
That's true.
This is kind of one big Zoom meeting anyway.
What else are you doing right now?
Just listening to you. I'm kind of bored, though. I'm thinking about paying some bills.
Yeah, I can tell.
Reading this chart.
That's the chart from the last segment.
Nick Iacovella's charts.
He
on
had
income
a lot
tax
of great...
burden falls with tax and tariff cut policy.
Mm-hmm. You want to tell us what's in the chart, or are you just doing that for fun because this is so boring?
I was not supposed to multitask, so I wanted to not be a dummy.
Well, this isn't quite a meeting.
Do you have an extra copy of that?
You can have mine. I'll take a report later.
Say, that was super rude.
Oh, it had nothing to do with you. I mean,
oh, really?
Was,
you just
was
interested
super
in
super interesting.
It was for later.
Okay. It's for later. You anticipate being bored. Okay.
It's a 2 o'clock hour.
Excessive. This is one that's weird but true. Excessively typing in the chat in a Zoom meeting.
Oh, I yeah.
Have you done this or you've seen
no.
it done?
What would you be typing? You mean like in the chat or doing something separate?
No, in the chat of the meeting,
oh.
typing,
being like asking
comments.
Questions, or hey, Ryan, your hat looks great today. Girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant being a loud physical typer. That's what I thought. And then picking up on the.
I struggle with that.
No, that's Brad.
I have
no.
All
you
loud
have a
keyboards.
You have a key. You have a loud keyboard. You
yeah.
just need a
Brad's
quieter
like,
keyboard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
I sound like a Dremel. Say something great.
Dominating the conversation. That's the next one. Conveniently. Dominating the conversation. So unless you are leading the meeting, don't constantly talk. Here's a question that I don't even know if this is on this list. How often should you make yourself known in a meeting?
Maybe once.
I was thinking the same thing. If it's a meeting that's not about you directly, I'm not sure why you're talking.
Is it more important or less important to make yourself known if you're late?
Less important.
You should try to sneak in so that you aren't even noticed that you were late.
Hmm.
Interrupting others while they're speaking. Although this is tough. You know, we did a show remotely for a year.
Which side are you on? Which side are you on?
When he's not being a good listener.
No, now you're interrupting her.
Huh? Go on.
What the heck?
No, we landscape within our walls. We'll
new poll. Which is better? Wiggins
Johnson.
America.
Oh,
shush.
That's a little better. I'll give it that.
Can that be in the bumper music tomorrow?
Not if we want listeners.
Every segment.
That's what I said earlier.
I've got it at the ready for any time.
Putting. Oh,
pudding. Like pudding pop.
There's more to this one. It's not just a bullet item that just says pudding.
Don't bring pudding to a meeting.
I don't want to watch anybody eat pudding ever.
That's an old saying. Don't bring your pudding to a meeting.
Was that something that was there a
we're all laughing because these are inside jokes. Although, if you've listened long enough, you would get them. Because we had, it was like, don't throw your pudding at the before it's ripe or something.
Ryan had a theory that you could put pudding in any sentence and make it sound like an idiom or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if that was you or if that was like back in the Tony
no,
Colombo
that was
days.
Me.
Because that was a while ago.
Yeah.
That went right over my head. I was like, what?
Yeah, there was
what
a whole thing we were doing
about?
For a couple weeks where it was like anytime you could come up with a saying, but nobody had ever said it. But
it was like
would
a
sound
drop
like,
the mic moment.
It would sound like it had been a saying for years if it had pudding
had
in
the
it.
Word pudding.
Do you have an example?
No.
Like, we can't remember any of them.
It might be on a short. I'll go back and look.
Yeah, it was stuff like don't throw your pudding out with the bathwater. But that's even worse than they were. They were actually pretty good. This one is putting quiet team members on the spot. As if you are not a talker.
So like trying to conflate sales and programming.
Not that we would know.
Yeah,
but
everybody
like
knows
that.
Every it doesn't have to be radio. Every industry has like the sales department. If they're not outgoing people, you need new salespeople. Yeah. That's their job.
Yes.
And then you have the content or production people who are, let's just say, more cynical.
I remember what it was. It was.
Yes, you had it in your brain while I was talking.
Yes,
it did. That's why you went.
Oh, yes.
You went. Yes.
It was, who put the poison in your pudding? That's what it was. That was the original one. And then we came up with a whole bunch of other ones after that.
Thanks for not paying attention.
You're welcome. Not following through on assigned tasks after the meeting. Now, this one goes a little bit beyond etiquette in the meeting. This is more like doing a job.
Yeah, like just following through.
Yeah.
For dummies.
Yes. And I will admit that sometimes there are new rules to our podcasts that I conveniently miss.
Like following through, like next time we have a press conference, we're going to produce it.
Well, that's in the works. That's in the works.
And it has been since the first week of the presidency.
I'll let you believe that.
Uh-huh.
But the truth is that by the next time we have a press conference, not today, but the next one, we're going to have some great stuff for you.
Joy Murdoch and Joel Concha in the next hour. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.